Good afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Friday, to get you through another crazy, wild, maddening day of news that we're going to figure out together live on the Jason Ranch on AM 770 KTTH, streaming live on the KTTH smartphone app. Got a lot to get to. We only have 3 hours to get to it. Seattle is looking to transform a dumpster fire of a stretch of Third Avenue. We'll tell you what they think will actually work, and then I'll tell you why it won't. John Fetterman's hometown paper is saying, yeah, it's time to step up and actually debate. While politics not going so well for Beto O'Rourke, not when politics means immigration. Plus, the Air Force Academy is promoting a fellowship that bans cisgendered men, which is funny because I just saw a political consultant from here in Seattle implying that she'll only hire someone if you're BIPOC or queer. But I suppose we're supposed to pretend that that's okay. Got it. We're going to get to those stories and so much more this hour of the Jason Ranch Show, brought to you by the KTTH Freedom Series. Tickets on sale right now over at KTTH.com. I hope you'll join me and Brian Suits on October 12th in Renton at the Carco Theater as we talk through the big issues headed into the midterms. Tickets at just $12 means they're already over half sold out, so please get your tickets at ktth.com or by texting the keyword FREEDOM to 1-800-465-8770. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Crime.
Some sad news out of Walla Walla, where a Washington State Patrol trooper was shot somehow. Dean Atkinson, a 5-year veteran of the Washington State Patrol, somehow, despite the injury, drove himself to a local hospital. Now, he did end up getting transferred to Harborview Medical Center in Seattle. He is in serious but stable condition. We got an update from the hospital just about 20 minutes or so ago saying he's still listed as in serious condition. Now, we don't really have too many details as to what happened. Not yet. We're still trying to piece it together. We can tell you that the alleged shooter is Brandon Dennis O'Neill. He's currently in jail with a $1 million bail. Don't tell Kamala Harris. She might start to raise some money to release him. He's being held on suspicion of attempted aggravated murder in the first degree, assault with a firearm in the first degree, and attempting to elude police with a firearm. Now, while we don't know what led up to the shooting of the trooper, beyond it happened yesterday around 5 o'clock in the afternoon or so, we do know, according to police, that this guy, this suspect, this degenerate, fled on his way to Oregon. He was stopped before he could cross over. Oregon law enforcement agencies actually got involved as well. But they were able to stop this guy, make an arrest, put him into Walla Walla County Jail. So I wanted to open the story or the show up with the story, despite not having all the details that we would normally want when talking about a subject like this, merely as a way to, number one, offer our prayers and thoughts to Dean Atkinson and his family. He's going through a pretty crummy situation, to say the least. I'm hoping that when they say he's stable but serious, he's going to go into the upswing of things and get back into stable condition and then hopefully be removed from the ICU, hopefully soon. Don't know the extent. I don't even know how or where he was shot. But again, that he was able to drive himself to a local hospital is just absolutely remarkable. This is a hero. So number one, we wanted to show our support for another law enforcement officer who was injured on the job. Number two, I want this to be a reminder of the dangers of policing in a state that pretends it's an easy job. In a state that has a lot of loud voices, a ton of loud voices, pretending that the real danger isn't from the bad guys in the community, but from the cops. That you have a high likelihood of being seriously injured, depending on the color of your skin, if you have to interact with a cop. That's what so many people believe here. And it's disturbing, it's disgusting, and every single time we get one of these stories where an officer is injured, where an officer gets killed, I'm always thinking of the lunatics out there that have made the conversation go from supporting our law enforcement officers to constantly, and I mean constantly, attacking them, criticizing them. And it pisses me off to no end when people pull that garbage claim out. They end up smearing cops like this guy. They end up smearing law enforcement agents like Dean Atkinson. They smear every single cop when they do that garbage, and it's on us to push back. Now, some folks are pushing back. There is a bipartisan group of lawmakers, mayors and law enforcement officers, mayors including, by the way, Cassie Franklin of Everett, who's a Democrat, and law enforcement like Adam Fortney, a Republican, coming together, pleading with lawmakers, pleading with them, please reverse course on your police reform laws. And the video starts with a whole bunch of body camera footage. A lot of it is coming from Snohomish County. Body cam footage of criminals who are simply ignoring police and then just driving off. They're doing that because they know they can get away with it thanks to the laws that were passed by Democrats.
In 2021, the Washington State Legislature banned most police pursuits unless it was for a violent crime or sex offense. While this might sound reasonable, the reality is that public safety decreases as criminals become more brazen, knowing the police cannot pursue them to enforce the law.
Car driving away from officers.
My fellow Snohomish County mayors and I share a deep and growing concern for the safety of our communities due to the tide of rising crime we are seeing.
In other news tonight, the city of Spokane, Spokane County, and the state of Washington all seeing a big spike in car thefts right now.
Vehicle thefts increased 88% for the first 3 months of this year.
Here in Bellingham, the numbers are astronomical.
Statewide, in the first 2 months of last year, there were about 4,500 car thefts. This year, nearly double that, believed to be a new record.
I have never seen criminals as emboldened as they are now.
The Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs point to a state Supreme Court decision that decriminalized the possession of small amounts of drugs and law enforcement reform laws that forbid police from pursuing someone in a stolen car.
Our mayors, law enforcement, and the community asked for help, and the legislature made the specific decision to continue to allow for blatant disregard of the law.
Law enforcement's deeply concerned that some policing reforms may have had unintended outcomes.
We are witnessing actual crimes like the ramming of police cars as criminals attempt to get away. This is both dangerous for law enforcement and for the public at large.
The reality is, criminally minded people are taking advantage of the new laws and creating more victims as a result.
And with the recent Blake decision at the state Supreme Court and the lack of a fix by the state legislature, we now have a scenario where it's very difficult to get individuals who are struggling with a drug addiction into treatment.
That's Nate Nehring of Snohomish County Council. Now, it's a very great video in support of not just a reversal of laws that made us less safe, but really it is a support of police officers. Now, Jesse Johnson, the state representative from Federal Way, who announced his retirement just a few months ago, he responded to this video on Twitter. He hit a reply to the video. Jesse Johnson is the Democrat who is largely responsible for the suite of bills that passed in the legislature that got us to this point. He said, "Smack my head. Shameful waste of taxpayer dollars creating fear-mongering campaign ads." By the way, I don't know how many taxpayer dollars are actually spent in this. I have no clue. I don't think any. There's no indication.
Yeah,
I don't think that
doesn't sound right.
He goes on to say, "Sheriff Fortney and others should have come to the table." Well, he said should have came to the table when invited to talk about reform. Folks suddenly have a voice close to an election on a bipartisan endorsed bill by Washington State Fraternal Order of Police. Wow. So my response to him was, well, it was snarky. I said, "Jesse, you're directly responsible for the reforms that caused this crime wave. Sit this one out and enjoy your retirement where hopefully you do less damage to the state." Yes, that was a sweet burn, and I hope everyone gives me a little bit of a like and maybe a reply with a little emoji of a fire. But here's the deal. It's what I said is true. The fact of the matter is, Jesse Johnson and other Democrats did this, and they can point to the Washington State Fraternal Order of Police all they want. I don't care. They sold cops out on this. They sold you guys out on this as well, and I would say that directly to their faces, and I will happily say that to their faces. The fact of the matter is that Fortney and others should have come to the table. Hey, dummy, that's exactly what they did. And they did that for 2 years now. When you passed this, or a little under 2 years, they came to the table at the time saying, don't do this. You ignored them. You only listened to the folks who were on your side, who you were able to make some sort of political agreements with. You can point to one law enforcement agency all you want. How about the dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens more lawmakers on the right and some on the left, and chiefs of police and sheriffs all across the state saying you are wrong, come to the table to talk with you? You are an anti-police activist. They want nothing to do with you. And unfortunately, they did come to the table and you ignored them while now pretending, oh, wow, just suddenly have a voice come election time. Really? Suddenly? Suddenly? You do realize we've been talking about this since you passed your bills, right? Adam Fortney on this show alone has been on maybe 24 times to talk about this. Heck, I think Cassie Franklin has been on this show to talk about this issue. We talk about this all the time. They've been screaming about this all the time. They did it during the legislative session. You ignored them. So stay in retirement. Get the hell away from any position of power. You have done so much damage, Jesse Johnson. Coward goes on Twitter and pretends that this is something that, we would have open arms. We would have come to the table. We would have done anything you wanted. We are a friend of the police. Right. And I guarantee you that I would get Sheriff Fortney on the show, and he would agree to this, to have a conversation on the show with Jesse Johnson, literally at this table I'm at right now. And guess who's the one who's going to say no? In fact, let's just put this out there. Reach out to Jesse Johnson, and I want you to invite him on the show. And even though I haven't run this by Fortney yet, I'm going to say he's going to agree. Say we'd like to have you on the show alongside Adam Fortney to talk about all of these issues. Just don't remind him to check his Twitter, because he probably will see what I said and then say no.
He doesn't know who I am.
Yeah, but we're going to say on the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we can't.
I don't know if it was one of those.
No, we don't trick people on this show. But I guarantee you he says no. I guarantee you he says no. But please, tell me again how you want people to come to the table.
Right.
Hey, someone said sweet burn, Jason. Thank you. Push the button.
What's trending in Seattle?
Third Avenue in downtown Seattle is an absolute mess. Again, we can thank people like Jesse Johnson for that. It's an absolute mess. Anyone who goes into downtown Seattle, in particular, the people who visit Seattle, whose first impression will be downtown Seattle, they will go down Third and they will see nothing but despair and addiction and homelessness and crime. Plus, they'll also see the transit users who have to pretend to not be bothered by all of the despair that they're seeing around them. They have to pretend to not feel deeply unsafe. Because Third Avenue, for the most part, is just a barren wasteland from an economic perspective, from a business perspective. You see a whole bunch of people who look like zombies because they are high out of their minds. You can see them openly smoking fentanyl. You can see them passed out. You can see them dealing out in the open, knowing that they won't really suffer any consequences. But I'm told, according to the Seattle Times, that city leaders want to transform Third Avenue. The city leaders who are responsible for what it's become now say they want to transform it because it used to be functioning for businesses. But it doesn't function for businesses now because we don't allow police to actually arrest these people who are often smoking and selling out in the open, thanks again to people like Jesse Johnson and the Democrats who have decided to decriminalize drugs. It's no longer a felony to possess fentanyl and heroin and meth. And the drug dealers have been able to adapt to the laws so they don't carry more than personal possession on them, knowing that they won't actually be put in jail for it. Now, I don't know when they say they're going to try to transform it. I don't really know what that means. We have Andrew Lewis, who's a council member, who has certainly shifted his thinking on homelessness to his credit. I give him credit for that. I don't know how much of it is political. I suspect at least some of it is. But frankly, even if it's all political, at least he has changed his view and he's saying it publicly, making it a little bit harder for him to go back on his word. He still might, but I'll take it right now. He said Third Avenue should be treated as the front door to the city. It is the first thing you see. We aren't setting a good impression as a city. He's 100% correct, right? Again, anyone who goes downtown, and a lot of the people who go downtown, they're either commuting or they're tourists. It is awful. It is truly, truly, truly awful. But what does it mean to transform this area? They apparently are looking at potential infrastructure changes. One of the changes could be killing a lane, going from four lanes to three. They would widen sidewalks, which I guess gives more room for people to smoke and shoot up. So, social distance for your drug addicts. But one of the ideas is downtown Seattle. That's the only thing. And we can pretend otherwise all we want. And maybe it makes for a good press release or passing some resolution at the council side. But if you truly care about turning things around, then you'll do the right thing and you'll allow police to do their jobs. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the road?
I guess there's this new national survey from Forbes that claims Washington drivers are confrontational, which is just odd to me that they say we're the ninth most aggressive state for drivers. They say, according to Forbes, that we've seen a rise in people doing some of the typical road rage things like tailgating or what do they call it? Tailgate? No, that's when you go and celebrate with beer.
I mean, you call it, if you said tailgating in that context, I think
they know what I'm talking
yeah.
about. I don't know. I'm not a driver.
One in four drivers in Washington, they know someone in their state that was injured in a road rage incident.
There's no way that that's true.
One
Sorry,
in four?
There's no way in the world that this is a legitimate survey. I have no idea where they found any of this information. I 100% guarantee you that that is just completely made up. Or maybe they confused us with Washington, D.C. Has this woman, what is it, spokesperson Jennifer Lobb, speaking with our sister station, Cairo News Radio, have you ever been to Washington? There are bad drivers, a ton of bad drivers.
Ton of bad drivers.
But they're not aggressive. In fact, they're quite passive aggressive, which makes them worse drivers. But they're not aggressive. To say that we have, unless, and again, I will concede, it's not like I drive a whole lot on the eastern side of the state. I find this hard to believe, but is it possible that all of this aggression is happening in Spokane or Spokane County, Spokane Valley? Is it possible we're getting all of those people in, like, I don't know, Republic? Are they just going nuts in the Tri-Cities area? Richland drivers, they're known for being aggressive. No. I don't believe that. There's nothing about this survey study that sounds accurate. Nothing. Nothing. And I would know because I'm quite aggressive, and I would be an aggressive driver if I was comfortable doing so, but I'm not.
They don't let you drive.
Does this ring true to you?
What? That
aggressive drivers in Washington?
I mean,
where are they?
I think there's bad drivers.
Yeah, they're not saying there's a difference between bad drivers. They specifically are citing road rage.
That seems...
Rage indicates, because if they're going to say, well, we're going to count this as like a passive-aggressive driver who maybe is driving really slowly in front of you, knowing that you're driving, they think you're speeding, but you're actually driving the speed limit and you're just in a hurry, and so they're going to slow down. That's not road rage.
It's
not rageful.
I've experienced no road rage. The worst drivers, the most aggressive drivers you see is going over the pass.
Mm-hmm.
Those people suck.
Aggressive suck? Like they're
doing
like it on purpose?
Yeah, weaving and whatnot.
Well, that's because you drive so slow. You drive like a grandmother.
I don't think that's true.
It's 100% true. Have you ever seen how you drive? The worst. Yeah, I'm calling nonsense on this one. This is, again, stop covering surveys that are done purely to give publicity to the site that's responsible for it. Wallet Hub does this all the time. They send out once a day, they will send out some study that is total hogwash. They come up with their own standards to judge things by, and then they just put stuff out. It's just completely subjective. It's completely random. And all they want you to do is say Wallet Hub four times.
But yeah, here you are saying it.
Yeah, I'm saying it, but I'm saying never go to Wallet Hub or Forbes. We're going to do the opposite of the endorsement that they hope for. We're the opposite of that. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation and send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Make sure you head on over to ktth.com, purchase your tickets to the Freedom Series. We are over half sold out. Do not wait another moment. Get your tickets today. If you have to wait a couple moments, fine. You can get them over the weekend. But make sure you're getting your tickets. We've got some fun surprises in store. Maybe it'll be Jesse Johnson versus Adam Fortney.
Ooh. That would be good.
No, I'm not saying it is, but I'm also not saying it's not.
That'd be worth $12.
Just saying. KTTH.com. Happy Friday. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. In the world of politics, let's turn our attention to the various races going on. Depending on who you ask, you get different responses as to whether or not the Republicans still hold a significant edge over Democrats. Some of the polls suggest things are tightening. Some polls suggest we've got some problems for Blake Masters and Carrie Lake in Arizona, for example. But others have some good news for Laxalt, and that would be a pickup for the Senate in Nevada. One of the issues that is obviously coming to the forefront is immigration. It's an issue that should have been at the forefront of this midterm election cycle, but the media decided that it wasn't all that interested in getting too involved. They saw what was going on at the border. I mean, we could stream for you days and days and days worth of content of people just coming across this border illegally, while at the exact same time we were hearing from the Biden administration that there was no problem going on whatsoever. What are you talking about? Our border is secure. We heard that from Kamala Harris, the vice president, what, 2 weeks ago? And so there were some folks on our side, Ron DeSantis, Greg Abbott, two Republican governors stepping up and saying, okay, how about this? We are going to engage in, and I'm calling it a political stunt because it was a political stunt, but they decided to get involved so that the media would cover it. So they started busing migrants out of their states into the liberal sanctuary cities. And it turned out that those sanctuary cities were nothing more than virtue signal declarations, because the second that you brought in folks coming from south of the border, all of a sudden, unless Democrats are going to hire them for $2 an hour to clean their homes, they don't actually want them in their cities. And so you've got some cleanup going on right now from the Biden administration trying to spin their way out of this. Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, who is arguably the most incompetent press secretary we've ever had. She was doing the rounds this week. You probably heard a little bit of this from MSNBC.
So, Mika, I'll say this. And the president talks about how it's important to treat people with dignity.
It's all about dignity, people. They are so compassionate on the left. So compassionate that they keep our border open, which guarantees people are going to make the very treacherous journey that ends up seeing several women raped or murdered, kids raped or murdered. But compassion, folks, compassion.
And what you're seeing from Governor DeSantis is inhumane.
Oh, it's so inhumane. How dare he, and I mean this, how dare he put those migrants who just walked across the border in treacherous conditions, how dare he put them in a chartered plane? How dare Greg Abbott put them in a chartered bus? This is obscene. Obscene.
It is not solving a problem. It is not a solution. It is causing chaos and confusion.
Just real quickly, and I'll let you finish, Karine. Is it up to them to come up with a solution to a problem that you cause? Because they have been calling this issue out for years, right? 2 years. The entirety of this administration, they've been calling it out, and obviously they're not the only ones calling it out. But you guys have pretended that there's no issue whatsoever. All of a sudden, there's a crisis, and it's now on the governors to solve?
And these are people who are fleeing communism. You think about Venezuela, you think about Nicaragua, you think about Cuba. That's what they're fleeing.
That is what they're fleeing, except they're not all fleeing that. All you have to do is talk to Maverick County Sheriff Tom Schmerber, who says the border is absolutely open, and he said this to News Nation.
There's a lot of immigrants coming in that really are not desperate because they're being chased by the cartels or maybe want to be prosecuted by governments. A lot of them are saying this is the chance to get over there to USA. They really don't have any problems in their country, but it's a chance to be over here. It's open. Let's come over here now to the USA, and we're here.
This is their chance to come into this country. I have a lot of compassion for anyone who makes the journey into this country illegally. I do. I have a lot of compassion and sympathy for them, because I understand why they want to come into this country, despite what some folks on the left will tell you. This is an amazing country, despite their best efforts to try to dismantle all the systems of oppression in all their institutions. Understand that this is an amazing country, the best country on the face of the earth. I would want to come here as well. I would want to come here. So I understand what it is they're doing and why they're motivated to do that. The fact of the matter is, however, we have a legal process to come into this country. And as much sympathy as I can give to folks who want to come here for a better life, whether they're escaping socialism and communism, which is odd because many members of the Democratic Party are trying to implement some of those policies here in the United States, as much as I sympathize with them, we have a clear national security issue when we allow people to just come into this country. And the more people hear about it, the more they side with us, which is why the media for the longest time ignored it. So thank you to Governors DeSantis and Abbott and many other activists who are on the ground and independent journalists on the ground who have highlighted this issue because it's making a difference. I know everyone looking at Texas at the national level, they were just dying to see a blue wave. They thought they were going to get that when Ted Cruz was up against Beto O'Rourke, who wants to pretend to be Latino so he can get some of the Latino vote, the guy who flip-flops on every single issue so long as he thinks it's going to get him power. They thought he was going to win. They tried to make him to be the big sweetheart, the big, oh my gosh, this, he is the future of the party. Except, of course, he crashed and burned. But now he's back. He's trying to be governor. He's facing Greg Abbott. But the polls seem to suggest he's got no shot whatsoever. Now, again, there's going to be a little bit of spin here because people will say, hey, the polls have been pretty consistent and it shows Greg Abbott is the leader. Oh, but he could still strike that Beto O'Rourke. He could still strike. Right, Southern Methodist University political science professor Matthew Wilson?
This has been a remarkably stable race. Just about every poll that has been taken for the last year has shown somewhere between 5 and 10 points as the margin. So what that has always meant is that Abbott is clearly in the lead, but Beto remains within striking distance.
Yeah, he's going to remain there, but not actually be able to strike. There's new polls coming out. The last one came from Spectrum News and Siena College. It showed Abbott with the lead 7 points, 50 to 43. And similar good news for folks who are paying close attention in Texas. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is up 9 points. It's at 49-40. You've got Ken Paxton, the AG, who's up 47-42. So things are going well right now for the Democrats, who want to pretend that they're within striking distance, but that doesn't really matter. To spin this, oh, he's in striking distance. Okay, that's a positive, I guess. But what does the poll actually say? Oh, Republicans are in the lead. You've got out in Pennsylvania, John Fetterman, who isn't healthy. Everyone knows it. And now his hometown newspaper is calling on him to release his cognitive tests, to stop delaying the debate, because they're saying it, quote, raises more questions. And of course, they're right. It's the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I've got a subscription on my Kindle. I read it all the time. Their editorial board just published a piece. It happened a couple days ago, actually. It said, further delays in scheduling a debate between U.S. Senate candidates John Fetterman and Mehmet Oz have raised more questions about Mr. Fetterman's health, including his ability to communicate and process information. Kind of sounds like Joe Biden. He has increased his public appearances, but his speech remains halting, and he repeats key phrases like mantras. To reassure the public, Fetterman ought to release the full results of his cognitive tests and other medical records and make his doctors available to the media. Oz should release his medical records, too. I don't think Oz has any problem doing that. But the fact of the matter is, there's increasing pressure on John Fetterman to actually debate. Here's Brett Baer.
It's important to point out, he doesn't take any questions. He does very, very few interviews. And as we talked about and you heard from Brian, he agreed to only that one debate October 25th. So there's a real push for not only the health records, but some legitimate Q&A on policy.
Oh, how interesting. It almost sounds like he's talking about Biden. The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm not tired at all, despite this being the second radio show that I hosted today. I spent my 9 to noon this morning filling in for Dan Bongino. Really grateful for that opportunity. There was a story that, and this was on me because I didn't realize how quick the segment was that I had started this topic, but I pulled a story from this morning that I wanted to talk about. I only gave it like 2.5 minutes there, but I wanted to dive in a little bit more in depth here. After the Air Force Academy in Colorado made a decision to send an email out, according to Fox News, an email to cadets to promote this fellowship. But they said, you better not apply if you're a white cisgender dude, because white cisgender dudes are evil. Y'all are evil. This exclusive from Fox News said the email to cadets about a 2023 application for the Brooke Owens Fellowship is for, quote, undergraduate women and gender minorities interested in aerospace. Gender minority. What does that mean? Because it used to just mean woman. But it doesn't anymore. In fact, even just biological women are no longer a gender minority in this country. And so gender minority, what does that mean? Well, we can tell you for sure what it doesn't mean, because on the application's website, it says, if you are a cisgendered man, this program isn't for you. How inclusive.
I'm out of luck.
You're out. I don't see gender, so I'm not entirely sure. Well, but I have been working under the assumption that you are a cisgendered man. It says, and get ready to look some stuff up.
Oh, gosh.
Okay? Because I have no idea what some of these things mean. If you are a cisgendered woman, a transgender woman, non-binary, agender, so you don't have any gender at all? Is that what agender is? Okay. Bigender, which I'm assuming means you have both genders at the same time, you're male and female. Look that one up.
Sounds complicated.
Two-spirit, which is a fake thing that they're using for Native Americans. Demigender, don't know what that is, so look up demigender. Did you look up bigender yet?
Yeah.
What is bigender?
Refers to a person who has two gender identities or a combination of two gender identities.
Does it say which ones? It doesn't matter. You're just saying.
Just whatever.
How can you have two? Doesn't that mean you're transgender? Is that just transgender?
I'm not a doctor.
Look up demigender.
Individuals who feel a partial connection to a particular gender identity.
So just a partial. Like, I kind of feel a little ladylike today, but not fully. Is that what it means?
Okay. I guess so.
Gender fluid, that means you just
release
go from
fluids.
Whatever, well, also that, but you go from gender to gender whenever. Gender queer, which I think is just a political.
That one's not real.
I think it's more of a political position. Look up gender queer. I wonder how they define that.
Yeah, I looked it up. It says it's not real.
It says, I looked it up with the Wikipedias. Or another form of gender minority. What other form could there be? Or another form of gender minority, this program is for you. If you're a cisgendered man, this program isn't for you, but we encourage you to check out our spinoff programs. And then it gives links to others. Now, this fellowship is a 9-week paid internship at a leading aerospace company. Is it Boeing? And that any undergraduate who is a woman or a gender minority should apply. How do you prove that? So how do you prove that? I mean, so if you come up and you're a cisgendered man, the producer Max goes ahead and applies for this. They can't say no to you because I don't understand. Like, how would they prove that you're a cisgendered man? And you don't even have to say, like, I don't identify by any gender.
Yeah. Couldn't say no. Have to let me fly the plane.
You could be agender.
Is that what this is about, flying the planes, or what are we
doing?
No,
it's an internship. You learn about aerospace.
Oh, that sounds okay, I guess.
One cadet who leaked this to Fox News said, quote, it's a little worrying that we have more briefs about D&I, diversity and inclusion, than briefs about foreign adversaries, emerging technologies, or current events across the world. that is terrifying. Is no one in military leadership at all concerned we're not ready for war if, God forbid, we actually have to go to war? Like, is no one... I guess I understand the inclination to go down this road if we were just fighting cyber wars and it's all just technology anyway. We're not there yet. So maybe we ought to spend a little bit less time on the D&I propaganda, word policing, pronoun policing and all that stuff, and maybe focus on actually being ready for war, because I think it's reasonable to be somewhat concerned that if we actually had to go to war with a China, for example, that maybe we're not ready. And I don't hold that position because I don't respect the military and the people who are actually serving. Quite the opposite. I truly respect them and want them to be safe. And that means I don't want them next to someone who, in the middle of warfare, will be mad that you said, "Dudes, come over here, take cover." Excuse me, I am not a dude. Well, on Tuesday I am, because I'm demisexual. But today I'm feeling a connection to my two spirit. How dare you? I will not take cover. And at that point, he, she, they, zoo, whatever, ends up getting put in a position that someone else has to save them from. I'm half joking, but I'm also half not joking. I really do feel like we're going down that avenue, and it cannot be safe. And the funny thing is, as I'm seeing this, you know, everyone is just so hyper-focused on identity. I saw a political consultant, a local one. Her name is Crystal Fincher. This is what she tweeted. Are you BIPOC/queer and do great graphic design, print and digital, or audio editing? I have upcoming paid projects in both areas. Feel free to reply or DM if interested. Now, I know she'll probably try to get out of what seems to be illegal discrimination by saying, well, I'm not saying I'm not considering anybody else. This is just me asking specifically for that. Doesn't mean I'm not going to hire someone else who is qualified, who happens to be white and cisgendered and male or whatever. But if someone put up, are you white/heterosexual and do great graphic design or editing? I have upcoming paid projects for you. Feel free to apply. And someone saw that and then responded, and then your comeback would be, no, I'm not saying I'm only hiring them, dumb. That's just who for this tweet I was looking for. It doesn't mean I'm not going to hire someone who's black and demisexual. Would anyone accept that? No, of course not. We would call that out. We would say that that's racist. In fact, it would be the left that would say this is an example of white supremacy culture in action. And yet we're doing that with BIPOC/queer. I don't understand why anyone thinks that this is acceptable. And this is a political consultant. I don't know if she's doing this hiring for her political consultancy group, like her company. But if that were the case, doesn't that seem kind of illegal? Just a little bit. And even if it's not illegal because of the way that it's phrased, doesn't it just seem wrong to you? You don't see anything wrong with leaning in to this kind of very condescending tone. This idea that you need help because you're black or you're Asian or you're, well, we can't include Asians because they're viewed as white people according to the left, but you're queer, you're trans, and without me, you wouldn't be able to actually make a living. So I'm going to have to give you some extra points so that you can get this job and truly thrive. Wouldn't an individual not want to work for someone like this? And I say this as someone who's gay and Jewish. If this company said, my company right now, we're looking for a gay Jewish talk show host, where that's who we want, I would clearly be all like, well, I technically qualify, but I don't want to work for a company that's going to tokenize me like that, that somehow pities my identity and thinks that the only way I can make a living or get a job is if I get this handout from some organization. I would find it so incredibly condescending. And I guess I don't understand why others don't. I mean, I guess part of me understands why someone would take advantage of it, right? Like, I get why someone might. It's a job. A job is a job. But don't you feel dirty about taking the job just a little bit? Or do you celebrate it? Do you look at someone like this and say, man, you know what? She gets me. She's looking out for me. If not for her, I really wouldn't be in a position where I could thrive. people believe that, I guess. And I feel so sad for those people, because the same people who hold that position that the only way that they can get ahead is if they do, in fact, take a handout from some white knight, is every single time they don't get their way, whether it's a job, whether it's someone not swiping right on them on Tinder, they will immediately say, it's because I am a victim of racism, transphobia, homophobia, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, whatever it happens to be. And that just does not seem like a healthy way to go through life. It doesn't. It seems like you are setting yourself up to always be miserable and always look for an excuse to explain away why something didn't go your way. And I don't know, call me crazy, but I feel like you might want to look into why something didn't go your way and maybe address that. And if you're always claiming, oh, hey, it's because I'm gay or because I'm black or because I'm Latinx, it just feels like you're going to ignore the underlying reasons why you didn't get that job or that person didn't swipe right. Crazy, I know. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text messages. It's the Jason Rance Show.